Hey guys, welcome back to an all-new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. I am so excited to be able to have another great guest on this week. She is the creator of Lana Deutsch, which you can find online, on TikTok, on Instagram, wherever you want to learn German. She's a wonderful teacher and a really kind person. Welcome to the show, Stephanie Weinberger. You go primarily by Steffi or Stephanie Weinberger?
My name is Steffi, but I guess it's easier to say Steffi. Both are totally fine.
Thank you very much for being here today. I know that we've not known each other for very long, but I wanted to basically start just chit-chatting from kind of ground zero, right? I have a lot of people who, because I'm American, I have a lot of people who follow me that are not living in Germany but might look at the culture of Germany through the lens of the content that I can share to them. So I wanted to ask you, as a German creator, what inspired you from the beginning to start teaching the language? Were you always driven towards content creation and education, or were there other paths you took that just didn't click?
So Lerne Deutsch is like a project from the heart. It started more as a hobby, actually, because I am raised and born in Berlin. And so there are many people, experts and people that moved here to Germany. And through my boyfriend back then, I got to know a lot of people working in a startup, and they all struggled with learning German. So I always got the same questions. Why is it like this? How do you explain that? And how do you say those things? And then I just thought, okay, let's reach them all more efficiently. So I started an Instagram account about that. And popularity just grew very fast, and more people came along on this journey, and here we are today.
When did you actually start your Instagram account?
I think it was like 7 years ago, so quite some time already.
So that's interesting, because when I talk to, I think you've seen it too, there's a lot of creators in this circle of learning German or being non-Germans who live in Germany.
Right.
That there was this enormous influx around the pandemic, right? Hey guys, I'm just going to take a small pause here. This is Jordan editing the episode, and we had some technical issues around this time. Thankfully, it was pretty early on in the interview, so it didn't ruin things later on. I think both of our phones probably were picking up some frequencies, and there was a lot of buzzing, so we unfortunately kind of missed this minute or so of Steffi's answer, but when we get back on track and everything's turned off, then I ask a new question, and here's that question now. So basically, as you were saying, there was like a window of time where you started to, you were creating the content basically just like from the goodness of your heart. Like it was something that
Right. You
felt you had a grasp on that you wanted to educate people on. What was that moment of time like where, your shift from maybe jobs you were doing switched into maybe making a career out of content creation?
I mean, at the beginning, I didn't start it in the mind that I want to make a business out of it. It was really just like for fun. I'm passionate about languages, so it just worked really well together. But then companies reached out to me. They wanted to work with me. And then it was like it became more and more companies. So I started Lerne Deutsch, or it became my side job, and then eventually became my full-time job. It just happened. I want to say.
Can you think of like a video, like what was one of the first videos or like maybe segments of content that you had where it struck you as maybe that there was a larger group of people paying attention to this or like maybe needing this content? Was it pre-pandemic, post-pandemic?
So when I started Lerne Deutsch, it was more like words I posted, like a picture. Eventually, I started to put audio, so the content really developed with time. So I think when I started to show my face, to record videos, I'm not sure at what time exactly it was, but then it took like different dynamics. people connected more with me. They've seen, okay, there's actually Steffi, the teacher, and not just a random text. So that changed things, yeah.
Before you started making this content, what was your ideal goal, like, with your career? Like, what did you study in school? What did you want to be before you were doing, like, German educational content?
I started a completely different path. I actually struggled a lot with finding out what I want to do in life. So I started.
Welcome to the club.
It's really a tough one, and it's a tough question. What do you want to do until the rest of your life, even though it doesn't have to be this way? So I started studying economics. Because I also been good in mathematics in school. So I thought, okay, this is interesting, until statistic 3 hit me. So I started economics, but I really early on found out it's not really what I want to do. And I'm really passionate about languages. So this is more like me. And until today, it's just really fun. And it's I have a really great community that enjoys learning, or like as much as they can. So
as much really, as they can.
I mean, that's what I'm trying to do, to make it as easy as possible, right? And as fun as possible.
I was wondering also, like, you know, because content creation and educational content have as like completely separate businesses tend to have pathways that they can take based on inspirations that they see, you know, like depending on what they've viewed. Like if someone were to look at educational content online, they might like watch a lot of content, maybe get inspired by things that have been done, and then make their own personal take. And then with specifically language learning content, there's also like so many different kinds of approaches that people can take. What was like the first, you know, path? Like, were there attempts you made with the intention of teaching language that failed, where you thought, oh, you know, was it based on like view count or engagement or something where you thought, or even just personally like, oh, you know, I don't know that someone can get something from this. Like, where did you decide based on this divide of education and content where you found your path? Like, you know, was there like a point where you saw like a difference in like where people are grabbing on to what you're teaching?
Yes. So at the beginning, I taught a lot of grammar, or at least I released some YouTube videos where I really talked longer about some topics. But what I enjoy more, and also apparently my community, is more real life scenarios, something practical that they can learn. And they, after they watch a video, they go out, they can immediately order a coffee, stuff like that. So more like real life content. This really worked out.
I think that makes a ton of sense too, because when I see, you know, I think this is something you can probably relate to as well, as like such a successful content creator, also as an educator, but I think specifically just in the terms of the content creation, I think there's sometimes it's so easy to see people who are in the same, you know, vein or genre, more or less, of like what, you know, what you're trying to do, what I'm trying to do in a different way. And it's so interesting to see where successes are made, and it can be so confusing also, like, why does this take off? Why does that not take off? Yeah. Like, does the world of, you know, because let's back up a bit here. So for those listening, so I met you quite spontaneously, I might add, which is, I'm so happy for this, but we met very spontaneously at this awards event for content creators. I think you and your partner are super, super sweet people, and I'm so happy that we came across each other. I wanted to ask, so, you know, before you were doing all of that, let's go back to like early Steffi days. You know, you were living, you said you grew up in Berlin, you know, you wanted to maybe go into economics. What was your family, you know, I don't want to push things that maybe you don't want to talk about, but like, how was your family life? And what, you know, as a kid, what kind of dreams did you have? What were you like aiming your life towards?
Yes, so I grew up in Berlin. I grew up, I would say, in a very German bubble. So I went to a German school. I had a lot of German classmates. All our friends were German, not intentionally, but that's just how it was. Because
well, it's in Germany, right? So yeah,
right.
Sure.
Yes. So also, I'm in my 30s now. So 30 years ago, there weren't many expats in Germany like today. So I grew up in a German bubble. I always wanted to do something that helps people. Like I had many dreams. I wanted to do something in, sustainability, maybe something green or something this direction. I just didn't really know what to do. Eventually I decided to study economics, but the more happier I am nowadays that I found something to help people. Through my boyfriend, the one you met at the awards, now husband.
Yeah.
He started working in a startup, so I got to know many non-Germans, which really was amazing and really, extended my horizon, basically.
Right, yeah, so, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, And I kind of lost the thread, but...
Welcome to my life.
My boyfriend or now husband is actually the one that also knew you before. So I'm really happy.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't know your content before. So I'm really glad that he recognized you and that we approached you and got to know you and that I can be here today. So because I really love your content and it's really nice. Yeah.
I feel that that's very kind of you to say. And I feel the same way. We were planning this conversation today. I was going through your content, and I have to say, so first off, congratulations, first and foremost, on having such an enormous following.
Thank you.
It is not easy. It is really not easy to earn and develop that big of a following. So for those who haven't met her yet, I have all your links in the show notes. Your website, we're going to get into that, what you offer in your website, and your Instagram and your TikTok, of course. But over a million on Instagram and almost that on TikTok as well. And I was going through these videos just like imagining for myself, because I am someone who has had to learn quite a bit of German and sadly has slowed down on it a little bit too much since I passed my visa exam. But I was going through, how you create your content. And I wanted to ask because, it's very... I would say the majority is if I've seen everything, but I would say every single video that I saw has such a characteristic to it. It has such an energy to it. Are you doing all the filming and all of the editing yourself?
Yes. So my husband is helping me. He studied sound engineering, actually. So he helps me with that, or at least taught me at the beginning how to edit videos, how to set up things. And by now I can edit it myself. I did work with some video editors in the past, but not long term. So most of the time I edit everything myself. I think I try to be very energetic. I mean, this is my persona, like the way I am, basically. And I also try to make the content like fun and not boring, because German has a reputation to be difficult. So if it's not entertaining, it makes it even harder. So
I was going to ask you about that too, because I mean, obviously, like separate from being German, there is sort of like a... like an unspoken rule about making specifically for short form content. There's kind of this thing about, as time goes on, at least until the zeitgeist changes, that, you kind of have to keep the content interesting and quick enough.
Right.
Which is like, there's pros and cons to that. Sometimes you want to make content that doesn't just like cocoa melon your brain, like cha, 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 cha. But I really appreciate how you edit things, because it doesn't feel like you're trying to, it doesn't feel like you're editing in the sense that you're trying to fit an algorithm. You're just editing because it keeps the video in this rhythm that feels best for your educational moment that you're trying to teach.
Right. I mean, it is kind of a mix, because you do need to please the algorithm at some point.
Sure.
But of course, my community is like most of them, they are German learners, and you can't do it like chuck, 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 because you need to give your brain a few seconds to process the information.
Yeah, totally.
It needs to be like a compromise in that and a mix that seems to work.
There was one video I was looking at earlier. I think it was after the 9/16 video that you had done, like about the award show where we met.
Yeah.
I forgot which one it was, if it was Citrona or... There's one or two where you're wearing the striped shirt. I also went back into the catalogs a bit. What was interesting is how you do something really interesting, because for those who don't like understand how making dialogue alone works, it can either be easy peasy, like, hey, I made my script, I know my setups, and like, here we go, which is rare. Or it can be, okay, I have to play two different people with two completely different outfits, which is the easy part, but then also maybe even different personalities, in the sense that it's different for us because you're usually playing two people who are both learning German. Mm-hmm. And in my case, I tend to play a German person and an American person. Mm-hmm. So the American person, like the gut instinct comes out a bit faster. But you're usually like playing two people depending on the sketch, unless you're talking directly to camera. And there was a few videos I saw of yours that were so interesting in a good way, like very like inspirational and also like kind of motivating and exciting because of how you edited. Like, I think there was at one point, I forgot which video it was, there was a split screen. Mm-hmm. Of like, Good Morgen, like, hier gibt's Frühstück. Like, there was like you eating breakfast. And there was another one of you in a black shirt split screen talking, almost like reacting to the other one. Are you filming all of that also alone and like editing alone? Like, are you doing all of that by yourself, or is your partner helping as well?
So yeah, my partner is helping when he finds time to record. But yeah, those kind of videos, they just require a lot of time because I want the characters to match. So I just have to give, because I need to know when to talk, or basically I can't know, so I just need to give it a lot of time. So the camera is running or I just stand there and wait. So I just have a buffer in order to make the match at the end of the day. But yeah, my partner is definitely helping. And yeah, makes things easier.
For sure. For sure. I mean, it's also, you know, like the final post-productions, you know, because if you look at like the still frames, like the thumbnails, if you will, because I think that's different for YouTube than it would be for somewhere else, but these thumbnails, are you getting the edited content, like, is he doing final cut content with your approval and then you're adding captions, or is it like a really like a joint effort?
So we used to have like a very balanced mix on who does what, or like the task distribution, but now it's more like that I do more content, so he kind of helps with the recording from time to time, but I do most of the edit. So I use Final Cut, like from the cut to the captions, etc. Mm-hmm. And he does more like course support, website, and more backup.
That makes sense. That's really cool.
So this worked out for us, yeah.
Before I go into your website a little bit here, I wanted to ask how, you know, thinking like when I'm doing comedy or like observational culture clash comedy, I wouldn't say it's necessarily easy, but I would say I, you know, keep an eye out for, you know, behaviors that I keep an eye out for behaviors that I can make something about. Right.
Right.
And there's a gazillion kinds of behaviors that, especially in Bavaria, that have been just beaten and punished and pummeled to death, like, you know, the staring and the nudity and the saunas and all that stuff. And like, sometimes it's funny if there's like some kind of fresh angle, you know, like if there's like something you haven't like seen or, you know, related to before, but it, you know, keeping an eye out for that thing is sometimes easy, sometimes a little annoying to like figure out a new way to approach it. But with your content, do you have like a schedule or a breakdown of what you hear from people is difficult for them to learn? Or how do you pick what the content is about for each different video? Because it's so different.
It's different. So the aim is, like, we are not trying to just teach German and to help. We also want to give insights to the culture, which includes stereotypes. And also, we just want to help people integrate in Germany. So we do get a lot of DMs. We get a lot of messages. So this is a great inspiration to just to see what do the community actually want. How can we help them? And other than that, sometimes it's just like a shower thought. I'm in the shower and I'm like, oh, this is a great topic. Why didn't I do a video about this yet? So this can also happen. But basically, these are the columns that I try to cover, like language, culture, and integration aspect. And yeah, that's what we go.
Shower thought is such a good terminology to use. Do you know that subreddit? Is that like, I feel like in college I used to watch, like, I used to look at like the r/ shower thoughts so much and get like almost get like slammed with a thought that is something I've accepted my whole life, but it's just asked for the first time. Like, why do we, you know, do this and this with silverware or something simple? And mm-hmm. then just like, you're kind of hit with this existential philosophical thing of like, oh, right. Oh, my God. Right. Why do we put salt in this thing with the one dot and pepper with the other? You know, it's just like this feeling of, or vice versa. But yeah, I was curious about the inspiration. So it makes sense that it comes from your fans and stuff. Do you remember the day you crossed 1 million, which, by the way, such an accomplishment. That's so amazing. You obviously earned it. You've put so much work into everything with your brand and your website. And we're going to get into the website in just a second. But do you remember when that happened? And because I've interviewed a few different people on the show just about, I have ADHD, so give me a second. I'm sorry.
No worries.
There are a few different creators I've had on the show, like, you know, like Liam Karps, like the British guy.
Yes, of course.
Like, in Germany, yeah. We don't say. I've had him on. I've had basically all the ones you could think of except for Uyen, even though we've had some contact, but I haven't been able to lock her down yet. There's like Calvin and Hobbs, like the two German guys who live in New York now. And a few different people, and they've all in their own different categories, whether it was like Instagram or TikTok or YouTube or whatever, they've all crossed a million or more in their own right. And I always ask them what was something they might have done to appreciate or celebrate it, or did something change? And I remember asking the Calvin and Hobbs guys, was there a moment where you thought, okay, we did it and now we're locked in and everything's fine? And they, both of these guys were like, nothing changed. The work just got harder. But did you feel when you crossed, because this is such an accomplishment, did you feel that day those numbers crossed, were you watching them? Are you better someone who stays away from that? Like, how did that happen for you?
I mean, I definitely celebrated it. I think it's an amazing thing that so many people want to learn with me, and that we are like, that there is this amazing community that just wants to learn German. So I think it's really, really amazing. So I did celebrate it. I don't actually remember when it happened. I guess a year ago.
That's so cool.
But something like this, yeah. But it's, so I'm not really tracking. Oh yeah, in May 2024, I crossed 1 million. It's a milestone or something. It's more like, it is just a number at the end of the day, but it's
sure.
Yeah, amazing. I did, I ordered this air balloons, so the helium air balloons. So we have a one and an M. So I took some pictures. I was excited about it, yes.
That's so cool. But, I would do the same, for sure. I would do the same, yeah. I wanted to, let's talk about your website for a little bit. So when did you launch Lerne Deutsch, and was that a difficult process? When did you get that that whole business like fired up? When did you get that going?
So it kind of started somehow. somehow I was in the business, right?
Like somehow I was like teaching German. I don't know, whatever.
I woke up one morning and that's how it is.
I was like, well, okay, I guess my partner made a website.
Yes.
Like whatever, I guess I'll fucking teach German at all.
Love it. Yeah, no, so my partner, he worked for a startup, so he really learned a lot there. He met really smart people. So he learned how to design a website. It was just natural that this is like the next step, basically, next to social media. We did launch some courses. We have 3 courses now, which is just, it just came natural because...
it makes total sense, yeah.
Yeah, many people, like, until today, ask me if I can help them, like, learn German next to social media, like if I can give them lessons. And unfortunately, I don't have the capacity to teach so many people. So we try to find a way to reach more people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we created some online courses that are also really similar to our content. So we have the 30-day everyday challenge that is really practical German, like everyday German. You really learn something that makes you feel comfortable and enjoy your life here.
No, I'm sorry. I was so engaged with you, but then I saw this part in your in your bio, which is this perfect word that punishes foreigners. My fascination with expats striving to master German, especially tricky words like Eichhörnchen.
Oh, but you pronounce it very well. Yeah.
Thank you.
How long did you practice?
Oh, I'm gonna milk that for the rest of my life. You have no idea. You know, I have like that's been like a gift and a curse because I have so many friends who are also content creators, and they live in Germany in different cities. And, you know, they're further, like, technically on paper, they're further advanced than I, and I completely understand that, and I have no jealousy towards that because I am lazy and I am neurodivergent and I know that I have a problem with that. But as a well-studied and well-practiced musician and as a comedian who, like, really focuses on the actual phonetics of the words I say because it's important for, like, hitting a punchline, there's something about... sorry, about pronunciation that is almost a punishment for me with German. Really, like studying something like Eichhörnchen, like sure, I'm so grateful that you say that. And I've worked to make sure that someone like you can say that. I'm happy for the reward that like someone I respect and who's obviously a native speaker would say that to me. Like I go, fuck yeah, I still got it, you know? But a full-on like sentence, I have my B1, you know.
Yeah.
We can get into the nitty-gritty now. Like I have my B1 for my visa, and it was it was a lot of work. I actually struggled. Funny enough, I struggled more with my like A1, A2 testings than with my B1. I have to say, and this is for people who know me and people who know this podcast, they know I'm not bragging because I'm the first one to shit all over myself. But I have to say that I didn't make a single mistake on my B1 test. I had a perfect score, and I cannot tell you how surprised I was. It was like it was like some magic trick, you know, some like miracle event where I was like, are you sure that you didn't get me mixed up with the teacher's version of the test that we're supposed to study? Like, I could not believe that I had that score. But on the backside of that, even though I had, thank God, had, you know, a good score on this test, I'm very happy for that. Even though I took it in total sweating fear, I still like going beyond like the requirement. I just get so strung up. What's your advice for people who like, you know, there's this common concern, especially because I can only speak for Germany, but like this common concern of, oh, I need to make friends to speak German, but I need to speak German to make friends. What's your concern on that? What's your advice on that?
Yes, I see where it's coming from. I hear it a lot.
Sure,
especially in cities like Berlin, where many people do speak English, like in cafes and restaurants. Sometimes the waitress only speaks English and not German. So when you as a German learner go there and want to practice your German, they either don't understand you or they just want to be kind, so they switch in English to English. But in those cases, it's tough. It's tough learning a new language because you have some are afraid of making mistakes and they don't want to say something wrong or be misunderstood. But the thing is, learning a language does require it. It is a journey. You can't learn a language without doing mistakes. I think it's very amazing if someone learns a language, if someone is putting themselves out there. And yeah, I think you just need to kind of fight this fear, speak as much as you can. And even, I mean, it's obviously easier if you have a partner or friends in German, but you can find other ways, right? You can go to your bakery every morning and always talk in German. It doesn't matter how hard it is. And if someone switches to English, you stick to German and you continue. You don't speak English. So just push yourself and I think things will come along.
I wanted to ask you, how do you tell your students how to deal when they go to, you know, Franconia or like Stuttgart or, you know, Leipzig or to Berlin or to Bavaria? How do you tell your students how to deal with dialects?
Well, it depends.
You can
on
leave. No. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Like, yeah. What do you mean? Like,
you know, like for example, that's something I've struggled with a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you learn Hochdeutsch in schools and also with your content, obviously, because that is like the main core thing that you're supposed to learn. You need to know those bones. It's like,
right.
It's like as a doctor learning, like, these are the bones of the skeleton.
Right.
But then dialects are like stepping away and realizing you need to learn the culture too. And you're like, oh, but I learned the bones of this person from Texas. And now I'm trying to speak to this person whose bones are from like Egypt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Bad metaphor, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you go for a vacation, for example, I would say don't bother too much. Use your Hochdeutsch. Try to get along, because it's the same for natives, right? Sometimes if it's a really strong dialect, it can be a bit difficult. Or like sometimes in some places you call a Bahn a Brötchen, and others it's a Schrippe, but it's something you get on the way, right?
Right.
If you want to move to a place, it probably makes sense to try to learn the dialect. As you mentioned, you should definitely learn the standard German first. It's a foundation you need, but the rest will come on the way, because you are surrounded by the language, your neighbors speak the dialect, things are written on signs and shops, etc. Or the cashier talks different, and this is something I think you will just catch when you are there. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about one thing on the last topic that you just said about like pushing yourself and just trying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a great quote from this American actor. I don't know if you know Ted Danson.
No.
No worries. No worries at all. So he's an old actor. He's very old now, but he was like the lead actor of shows like Cheers, like this American sitcom that went on for years. So there's a great quote from Ted Danson, who he as like a multi-generational established actor gave advice to a class, I think at NYU one day, and he said, acting is embarrassing. Like you have to like accept being embarrassing. You have to accept and be totally okay with being the biggest, most naked, exposed, uncomfortable person in the room. You know, acting is embarrassing. As a person who has studied and has practiced acting for many years and totally agrees with this, and it's so tough to commit to that. It is, you really have to be embarrassing, like to yourself and to others, like to get to to get to like the thing that's fake, right? Mm-hmm. To get to that place where the audience and those in the room are agreeing that this fictional thing that's happening with this drug addict or this train conductor, this airline pilot, this sex addict. You have to really just like go, you have to go so far and you have to really commit, and it's embarrassing. And you have to be okay with that to find the truth. I found like in the last thing you were talking about just committing to being embarrassed, you know, about just talking the language. Do you think that's like a reasonable connection to just being okay with saying the wrong thing and just being bad at it for a while?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a really good advice. It's, I just thought about a video that I've done where I showed some emotions. You definitely, because if you like embarrass yourself or if you show emotions, it makes you kind of vulnerable, right? So people, I guess, they don't want to be vulnerable. The same with learning a language. They want to be their strongest self, or
people have a hard time letting go of like the facade they've set up in their own. Yeah, it's like a shield. Like, no, I'm cool, I'm relaxed. Yeah. But learning a new language is like acting. You have to just be like, I'm just a vulnerable little baby.
Definitely. And also like many, they are very smart people, right? But learning a new language is making you, because you can't express yourself, you're not as eloquent like in your native language. So people get a different picture of you maybe, and it makes you feel uncomfortable because in your native language, you're like
so funny or witty.
Right. Yeah. Fun, also like a good point. Like the humor in the native language is very different than in the language you learn. So definitely, yeah. But it's part of the journey. And it's once you accept it, it makes it easier, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good message as well. Like just acceptance. Oh, I'm going to write that down right now. Acceptance also, is part of the journey.
Yeah. And every time you do a mistake, that's what I always tell my students, don't see it as, oh my gosh, I did a mistake. It just brings you further to your goal of speaking German, right? You made a mistake. Wonderful. You learned something. So now it's time to move on, right?
Right. Yeah. So. Like mistakes don't mean that you're bad. Mistakes are just like slippery steps on like a rainy, like it's like you're climbing up this huge mountain, like in Machu Picchu, and like the steps are rainy, you know? And you're like, oh, fuck. Okay, shit. Okay. And then you you keep going up, you know?
It's part of the,
You know, or like those psychotic cave divers who like dive into the devil's asshole and like their face is like peeling back as they go into this cave deeper and deeper. Just for some funsies here in our last little stretch here. As a content creator, what are some content like genres that you have found yourself getting roped into watching or find crazy? Like as someone, like, you know, you make content for TikTok and for Instagram and everything else. Like for me, just as an example, I, you know, for the cave diving thing, you know, it's like a trend. You see all these videos about it. I have, as someone who makes like funny observational things about living in Germany as a non-German, I tend to see whatever TikTok shows me. And there's like crazy videos about these cave divers. What's the last like, you know, handful of things that you've come across? You post something and then you're on your For You page that you've been like, wow, the internet is wild right now.
Well, I do consume a lot of family content, so I wouldn't say that's wild.
That's so many opposite wild of what I thought you said. Well, I just watch Christian family, you know. I just see people like, you know, just the Amish mostly, just building houses from scratch. And
well, I do like extreme sports, actually.
Tell me.
Yeah, we did, my partner and I, we did a lot of canyoning. We did climbing, rock climbing, bouldering.
I should say you are the most athletic person I've had as a guest on this podcast. For those who will just maybe see clips because this isn't a video episode, you're like such a like fit, like like you're such like a German in the best way possible. You're like, I eat healthy, I work out, I skydive, I boulder climb, you know, like you're the German person that the American visitors would be like, I hope I get there someday.
Well, thank you.
But you skydived like several
once.
Times?
No, once. It was a birthday gift, a wish I had for a while. So I do like the adrenaline. I do like sports. But to come back to your question, since I have a child, my algorithm is feeding me with children videos.
The algorithms are oddly aware of everything. It's really creepy. It's really creepy. Like in the sense that even like, of course, having a child, maybe like for 1.5 more seconds, you watched something that a mother content creator has made and then you get like slammed with it, you know? Or even just like, you're like, oh, I think this someone made a video about like eating some, in my algorithm, it's like, oh, I'm going to visit America next week. Oh, there's some like crazy spicy hot wing chicken places that they don't have here, like Dave's Hot Chicken or Wingstop or something. And I watched someone like eating the food just because it's like ASMR or like, you know, mukbang, whatever style, which can be good or bad. But there's just like cool people sometimes who are like, hey, check this out. And it's just like a very like aesthetically pleasing video. And I'll watch it. And then I'll realize that for the next week, that's all I've seen.
Yeah.
And go like, wait, I watched one guy eat some hot wings because I was hungry. I watched it before lunch and now that's all I see?
Then it's hard to get out of there.
Are you crazy? Yeah, like what am I doing here? Like it's 3 a.m. I'm full. I'm tired. Why am I watching this?
Yeah.
It's really wild. And before we go, do you have any other like passions, hobbies, or interests that are completely separate from content creation and language education?
Well...
No.
That's it.
That is
nothing
else in this world other than education. I'm just playing with you.
Yeah, no, it's yes. No, it's of course, yes, I do have hobbies. It's just being a mother and being self-employed is hard.
It's
the best thing. It's a dream come true for me, but it's also very, very time consuming. So it doesn't really let me have other things. I used to run a lot. I used to paint.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but not good, just for fun.
No, but sure. But that's expression, you know? I think nobody should ever, that's my biggest, like if I were to like die in this moment, in this conversation, I would say there's one thing I would always hope to tell anybody is that just expressing yourself in whatever way it might be just for you does not have to be a marketable venture. Just do it because life is so short and just creating something is something that no, like you making something like drawing a little garbage little crayon circle on a piece of paper is something that no one out of the other 8.5 billion people have ever done. It's just you and it's just beautiful and it's just rare and special. And like, I don't know, I'm starting to see more and more of like humanity as a bit like an ant pile, and it's easy to like get lost it's a bit easy to get lost in the sauce of like that nothing can matter. It's a bit easy to get like lost in nihilism, but that's the beauty of like this little magic trick that happened in evolution. Like you have this consciousness and you can do something. You have the free will. Just make something sweet. Just do it for you, if not for others, because no one else can do it.
Yeah,
you can only do what you can do, and it's just beautiful. And it's just like, why not? Yeah. You know?
It's a very nice way to look at it, yeah.
Thank you very much. I feel honored. before I let you go, because I know you have a busy time, I've already put your website, your Instagram, and your TikTok into the show notes for those listening who want to check out everything Steffi's doing. Do you want to promote anything else, anything coming up, anything that you'd like to just let people know about?
There is something coming up, but I think I will wait a bit until we talk about it.
Okay, no problem.
A little teaser.
Trailer.
But I mean, if someone who's listening wants to learn German or integrate, I'm happy to welcome you into the Lerne Deutsch world. It would be my honor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Steffi, I cannot thank you enough for your time. I know it's precious time, and for I just want to congratulate Congratulate.
Glückwunsch.
Oh my God. I want to congratulate you for, you know, your followers and for the engagement on your, you know, amazing hard work. It's obvious that you put a lot of hard work and effort into everything. You and your partner are obviously a great team. I've put LenaDeutsch.online into the show notes and her Instagram, her TikTok. There's regular daily. Is it daily content?
That's what I'm aiming for. It doesn't work every day, but more or less, yeah.
But yeah, very regular content for those who are listening who want to just see, you know, regular everyday information about like, oh, I'm going to order a drink. Here's a good way to do it. Or like, I'm going to go to the beach. Here's a good way to maybe like, you know, just any like things, just regular things to have in your vernacular. But I'm so, let me see. Did I click this out? No. Okay. Sorry. I thought I clicked out of the call. But thank you so much for your time and, thank your partner for helping, you know, with setting everything up. And we can say bye to the listeners and then I'll just talk to you for just a minute after about all the setups here. But sure. Guys, thank you so much for listening. This is Steffi. She's a really wonderful person, a great content creator and a hard ass fucking worker. So please go give her a follow and check out her content. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Jordan. It was amazing. It was really fun. I feel very honored to be in your podcast.
Pleasure's all mine. All right, guys. Thank you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Hey, guys. It's Jordan from the Editing Bay once more here in post-production to just say I really hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you did, a great way to support the show is to go into the show notes. I have a book that is coming out in September. You can pre-order the book today. It really, 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 really helps boost the Amazon algorithm to try and push it towards new people like yourselves who might like it. I also have socks, Sport socks, in my merch store, also in the show notes, and my tour. I'm doing stand-up this October, many cities all across Germany. I'm also going to Austria and to Switzerland, so if you enjoyed this and you had a lot of fun, you know, reviewing, rating, or commenting on the podcast wherever you listen is free and is a very nice thing to do, which I would very much appreciate. And if you have any spare cash and you'd like to support this because you have fun listening to it and because you're a beautiful soul, then you can participate in any of the things that I just mentioned. So thank you so much for listening and have a great week. Love you. Bye-bye.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prinz und Moritz Bartscheider, produziert für M94.5.